For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome to 5 o'clock Fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock Fire.
All right, first up on 5 o'clock Fire, how about them Astros, baby? Hell of a weekend.
Come on.
Took 3 out of 4 from them Blue Jays, otherwise known as the Toronto White Walkers. You asked Patrick Graton.
Clean unis.
You like the City Connect uniforms?
I like them all.
Do you? I see. I hate the Astros version.
No. I like all of the Blue Jays uniforms.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I was digging their
that
City
red,
Connect.
Was the City Connect the red ones?
No, it was the black Canada ones Day. With the outline, the blue kind of outline of
yes,
the city.
Yes. Yeah. 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 No. I love. I think they do a tremendous job with their traditional unis, their City Connects, the first game of the 4-game set was Canada, a Holla Canada Day or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they
yeah.
had that red on.
That's right.
The red jersey and the hat had something a little different.
Canada Day. And the Astros gave double rods to Canada Day and they said, no, America.
Yes. America, no, MFers.
We ain't here for no Canada Day.
Yeah. They do unis right, though. They lost 3 of 4 to the Stros, but they do unis right.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that the Astros had to be in Canada on Independence Day. You know, that's just America's top hat up there.
Doing the Lord's work, though.
Yeah, no doubt. I love the outcome. But, man, yeah. You got to spend the 4th in Canada,
yeah.
eh?
Yeah, that's a good point. But at least it turned out the right way. 3 out of 4 the Astros took, including the 5-3 dub yesterday. Fromber and the defense nails. Astro pitchers allowed leadoff men to reach 6 of the first 7 innings, and they got out of that trouble with the double play ball more times than not. The most they've had in a game since 2017, 5 double play balls. That is badass. Mauricio Dubon being clutch with a 2-out RBI in the 5th. Also badass. Jeremy Pena, he likes Toronto too, Clint. 2 homers in the series along with 2 doubles and 3 ribs. Yordan Alvarez likes Toronto much more than the Blue Jays would allow him to display. Wanted no part of that dude yesterday. Walked him once, intentionally walked him once, hit him with a baseball twice. Yordan Alvarez on the road. We'll talk about his numbers here in a little bit, but just absolutely destroying baseballs here on the road this season, but particularly on the last 7 games of this road trip, hitting around .487. Just disgusting. And can we give a tip of the cap to maybe one of the most underappreciated Astro pitchers right now? Ryan Pressly, 9 appearances.
Been killing it.
He's gone 8 2/3. He's given up just 3 hits, no runs, and 5 Ks since June 11th. That, Clint Sterner, is badass.
Here he comes. Look. It was a rough watch for a while with the entire bullpen, let's be honest. When I say bullpen, I mean what we hoped was going to be our 7, 8, 9 best in the league guys. It was a rough watch. Abreu's had a rough stretch. Presley's had a rough stretch. Hader had a rough start, right? But again, another reason for me why I didn't throw in the white towel originally, there's a handful of them, but one of them is that particular group, Ryan Pressly, nobody being worse than Ryan Pressly for a stretch there. In my mind, I watched those 3 great pitchers that could all be closers in this league, and I said to myself, there's no way that all 3 of these guys continue to struggle the way that they're struggling.
Yeah.
At some point in time, two, maybe all three of these guys are going. They're going to get right, and they're going to be a major problem. I was willing to gamble on what I watched the first 50 games of the season was not going to last for 162. I just believed it wasn't going to happen. And now you're seeing, obviously, haters. I saw something the other day, boys. Yeah, one of the graphics they threw, Space City threw up there on the screen yesterday. Since May the 13th,
mm-hmm.
Y'all do the math, that's 6-plus weeks ago. May the 13th.
Hell, it's almost 2 months ago, exactly. Yeah.
Since then, the Astros have had the best bullpen in baseball.
Yeah, I saw
from an
that.
ERA standpoint.
ERA, it was like 2.74.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I mean, the best in baseball, and that's tremendous, obviously, but the thought that those guys were going to continue to struggle the way that they were, I think would have been crazy, because I kept telling Ron, I mean, these guys are too good, man.
Yeah,
they're feels too huge.
Yes, yeah, they're too good for this to continue to be a problem over a 162 game stretch. It just is, and so you're starting to see some of these guys come around. Ryan Pressly, I'm a big fan of Ryan Pressly, and he wears his struggles, man. He wears his struggles.
Sure.
You can see it. I'm glad to see the fella come, big fella come around.
If Tyler would have found that prop bet, if it maybe existed 2 months ago, Astros have the best bullpen in baseball the rest of the way, or at least going into the All-Star break, yeah, I would have been mad if I didn't tell you on that one. Because you're kind of badass at this whole thing.
Well, thank you.
In regards to the betting.
At least lately, right?
5 o'clock fire.
Lately, as in like the last, I don't know, since I've known you.
it's been a hell of a heater. Jeez. For like a couple months. I love it.
Your life is a heater. Get out of here.
Hey.
I mean, my God, stop with the being humble and stuff. Just call it what it is.
It's been a hell of a heater since June 18th.
I guess.
I can tell you exactly when it was 6-18. Since then, the Astros are 12-2.
Astros lineup is out tonight. First of three games against the Twinkies. Astros going to be rolling with Jose Altuve at second base, Alex Bregman at third, Yordan Alvarez playing the field in left, Yiner Diaz will be your DH tonight, John Singleton playing first base and batting fifth, Jeremy Pena playing short, batting sixth. In center field is the one, the only, Jake from Rake Farm, Myers, Joey Loperfido in right field, and Cesar Salazar catching and batting ninth, baby. Ho-hoy! I like that. I like it when Cesar's in there catching, man. He's got the good bat, too. Stroh's entering play tonight, just two games behind the M's in the West, 2.5 behind the Red Sox for the third and final spot in the American League wild card race. You got Sean Dubin and Pablo Lopez on the mound tonight. Dubin's second straight spot start. You got a good feeling about Dubie in the spot start tonight?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got Dubin is one of those guys. Great nickname, by the way. He's one of those guys that I'm more confident in than I should be.
Yeah.
Not quite like Montero, but definitely a Montero-like, where you watch him pitch and you're like, this dude's got really, really good stuff that can't be easy to figure out and pick up and hit. It just can't. Like, he's really – it's got really good stuff. Now, I say that, and most of the time when I say that, Montero then goes out there and two pitches in, gives up a bomb, somebody hits it out of the damn stadium. So yeah. I don't know what my feels are worth, but Dubin is one of those guys. Like I feel like, as I'm watching the game, like, this dude's filthy. This dude is nasty, man, and he's got to be tough to hit. And so – if he can go out there and give you three innings, if he can go out there, if he can give you two and two thirds, then you know you're getting good work out of Dubin. So yeah, I'm a fan.
Good job by you, at least going with elements of his game to make you feel good about his outing tonight, because we talked about this earlier and I did everything but. I said the only way that makes me feel good about this situation tonight is how good the Astros offense has been.
Sure.
scoring 5.5 runs per game over the last 26, 28 ball games, whatever it is, since Kyle Tucker's been out. So there's that. But yeah, Doobie's got good stuff, and he displayed it last time out. What was it? Sunday against the Mets in his first spot start this season for the Stros. Went 3 1/3, hitless. Still walked three, struck out two, and the Astros won that game. I think it was 10-5. that game that he pitched on Sunday. But
the three walks, the control issue is understandable. When I close my eyes and I think about Dubin standing on the mound with that beard and that. Now you want to talk about a wiry looking fella. You want to talk about wiry?
Fact.
Like he stands on that bump and his look screams. I may struggle with my location from time to time. You know what I mean? Like I ain't gonna lie, I got some filthy stuff. I may bring one right up on to give you a little chin music, but I also might walk three or four guys in an inning.
That's fine. No, wild outside of the zone is a little bit more scary than wild inside the zone.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah, he's I like his stuff, man. He's definitely a good watch. If you're gonna have a bullpen game, last time he was a hell of a choice to start that thing.
Just something to keep in mind, fellas, before we get to the next one. Pablo Lopez, last time he faced the Astros, went seven strong, six hits, just gave up one earned run while striking out six Astros in a 6-1 win. That was May 31st. So we'll see what he looks like tonight. Hopefully them bats can pay a little revenge.
I'm on the under strikeouts I forgot to mention for Pablo tonight, which is set at 5.5. I don't think he's going to get six Ks against these Astros.
Attaboy, I like it.
Mm.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. Fire in southern Oklahoma. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. He's out of it. Dak Prescott reportedly out of his walking boot. Now, maybe he's not supposed to be out of his walking boot. Maybe because a picture of him sporting a walking boot in Cabo San Lucas over the weekend, or earlier this week, rather,
like spooked
him and the Cowboys enough where they said, dude, take that damn thing off. Get it off right now. Just don't be seen in public with it. I don't know. Something's going on, though. Prescott has reportedly suffered a minor right foot sprain recently that temporarily required a walking boot. How long he was in it, when the picture that surfaced on Wednesday via Twitter was taken, nobody knows. But what is known is that the Cowboys last held a organized workout on June 5th. Prescott probably didn't hurt it then. We don't know. The injury is not expected, though, according to reports, to withhold Prescott from activity in the first day of training camp practice on July 25th.
Just one more day, one more issue that creates some level of drama in the Cowboys organization. As I've said multiple times, I got them pegged as the wheels coming off this year, the NFC team that the wheels just come off. And then again, they don't meet expectations. I think Jerry moves on from Dak. I think Jerry moves on from Mike McCarthy.
There it was. Glory hole.
And I don't know if it's going to come true or not, but they are damn sure doing everything. All signs point towards me being right with every day that comes and goes. I mean, whether we're talking about Micah Parsons and his multiple distraction drama with Malik Hooker and the podcast that he does.
He's a cowboy.
And all that jive. Or we're talking about the fact that Jerry didn't pay the contract situation with Dak, or now the boot with Dak, or we're talking about that Jerry hadn't paid Micah Parsons, or we're talking about the fact that Jerry hadn't paid CeeDee Lamb. And
I don't have time to have a bad time.
There's no doubt about it that Mike McCarthy is on borrowed time. If they don't, I think they got to go to the NFC Championship game at the very least to keep his job. I mean, it's just one more thing that you add to the list. Is it a big thing individually? No, that's probably not a big deal. But is it one more sign that points towards something else, one more thing being a problem in Dallas, being a distraction in Dallas? Absolutely.
Yeah, you never know. The NFC Championship game, a showcase, and there may not even be enough to save his job. If they lose spectacularly, it does not behoove, or it wouldn't be a shocker if Jerry Jones like still axed McCarthy after the fact.
Well, it would be – now, I think the wheels come off well before the playoffs, but it's – wouldn't it be – wouldn't it be something if they get to the playoffs and the 49ers either they make an embarrassing mistake to lose again, or the 49ers just road grade them, right? Jerry would probably go ahead and fire some folks after that as well.
5 o'clock fire.
Wieners. Wiener all over the place yesterday.
Glizzy's everywhere.
Patrick Bertoletti has officially won the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. And no, Joey Chestnut, not a participant this year because of, I guess, some sponsorship situation with him. But Bertoletti pounded down 58 hot dogs in 10 minutes. So he's the male champion.
Suck a beer through a wiener?
You've got a really, really interesting presentation there.
Yeah, you know, wieners.
Wieners! I mean, but what did you just say? What did he do to 58 of them?
Pounding them down.
He pounded down 58 wieners.
I don't know how else you would characterize that. I mean, we watched the women's version earlier on repeat, and that's exactly how I would characterize that. I'm just shoving him down there.
That'd be a good
wiggling to
be a good hub,
shimmy him
hub
down
episode.
There.
Wiggling them wieners on down the gullet.
Come on there.
Is that not disgusting? Well, I mean, I can't even take these guys and gals seriously.
America.
It is, but we've seen it, and I've become desensitized to it. It is actually somewhat entertaining to me.
You find that entertaining?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I'm not going to lie either. The 30 for 30 on what's his butt? The on Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi. That is one. I'm not even kidding. One of the best 30 for 30s I've watched.
I could see where a 30 for 30 with somebody with that ability, like, because I'm sure there's a science behind it. There's a plan.
Yeah.
There's a technique. There's training. Like, that would probably be interesting to see how somebody could force that much food down their gut. I mean, that'd be interesting. But to watch them do it.
Yeah.
I mean, now I guess I don't know where the red dye is coming from. I'm sure it's coming off the wieners, but like. There's like red dye all over their hand where they're dipping them in water and shoving them in their mouth.
Yeah.
It's like that. Like, it just makes it more and more disgusting.
Yeah.
That one guy was eating three wieners. Like, he was side by side taking three of them at a time.
Strategery, man. Strategery.
Just shoving them in. I'm like, man, it is just disgusting.
Mickey Sudo, the female champion this year, pounded 51 hot dogs down her gullet.
I mean, do you have to keep using the word pounded? Can you just say shoved, maybe? Or
Mickey Sudo slid 51 hot dogs down her gullet.
You're sick. You're a sick puppy, boy.
So many dogs down the gullet, man.
Let me tell you, man. I view the world through a different lens now. I got two daughters. Like, add that to the list of things that I just hope my daughters never get into. Hot dog eating contest televised on TV.
You know, figuring out what you're elite at and then pursuing it.
I don't want mine to ever figure that. If that is it, I don't want mine to ever figure it out. I'm just going to tell you, I would rather my daughters just be average old Joes than
my daughter's talentless. What can I say?
Yeah. What is your daughter? Oh, she's the queen. She's the queen of hot dog eating.
Clint's going to be like, honey, Papa worked hard, so you don't have to do this.
Yeah, you ain't got
to
do that, man. We ain't got to figure out. I mean, we don't have to figure it out.
It'll be okay, baby. Coming up next, exactly 2 weeks until Texans training camp begins. Most important camp battles, most pivotal camp for who? That's next. It's Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And for Ron Hughley, I'm Sean Bajani. It's The Drive, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, T-Mill, here doing their thing. If you'd like to be a part of the show, text in. Some good ones during the break, fellas. I'm not going to lie. 713-572-4610. The Hawk Tua thing is just, it's very relevant.
Spit on that thing.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Did you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
From the 832, the female winner needed to add a Hawk Tua after the last wiener.
Oh, she would have been, I mean, could you imagine if, like, when she got interviewed, if she started an interview with Hawk Tua?
Yeah.
Hawk Tua, spit on that thing. Yeah, you feel me?
That's what the same number said. Yeah, from the 832. Mickey Sudo, what's your secret to winning the hot dog contest? Spit on that thing.
That would have been legendary.
Did y'all see where old Hawk Tua was on stage with Zach Bryan?
I did.
I mean, she goes viral with talking about spitting on a piece, and she is on stage with Zach Bryan in a matter of a week.
Yeah,
she wasn't much of a singer, but I did see that.
She's a hell of a team to put that together, you know?
Yeah, she's been hitting all like the big name podcasts and stuff. I mean, she is capitalizing on this 5 minutes of fame.
The way the Zach Bryan deal worked out was she had already bought tickets and was already a big fan. And, they like it all hit so quick, and she started getting all this attention every time she left her house.
Yeah,
that her team that obviously was put together over about a week span, right? I mean, I'm sure she signed with some marketing company. And anyway, they reached out to Zach's people and said, hey, you know, she was planning on coming to your concert, but now there's some safety concerns about her being there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, no worries, I'll VIP pass her to the back. She can hang out.
There you go.
She can hang out with the VIPs. And next thing you know, he calls her up on stage.
How far she's come from working in the Spring Factory to doing all the major podcasts, being up on stage with Zach Brown.
Is that what she did?
That's what she said. No pun intended.
That's what she said.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Spit on that thing.
Spring Factory?
That's what, right? Tyler?
Well, I'm just asking. I'm not on the podcast.
I don't know.
She's small town Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Not that much.
So working at a spring factory isn't that out of the realm of possibility?
No.
I don't know how prevalent the need for springs in Tennessee are, but
somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, you got to supply the local mattress.
You gonna hock to it? You better have some springs.
Like things you need springs for, like mattress makers.
Yeah,
pins.
I'm out. What
pins?
Pins.
You write with.
Like, still need springs and pins.
Yeah.
There's a pin in there. My daughter just took one apart, and that's how I know, boys. They're still made with springs
pogo
inside
sticks.
There. Nice pogo stick.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved a good pogo stick.
Those still alive?
Garage door opener?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Well done.
You start getting into things like that.
That's probably more line of her, like she the spring factory she worked in.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's gonna. I feel like if it's in a factory, it's got to be a big something, doesn't it?
Maybe.
Big spring.
Unless there's, like stages.
I don't think she's working with little springs talking about Hoctua. Spit on that thing. Yeah, she's got to be working with a big, powerful spring.
Yeah. More of the industrial grade, sure.
I'm sure refineries need springs for some reason.
God, that's on the short list of what I hope my daughters never do. Go viral for that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. From the 281, I agree with the Desmond King thing. Probably listened on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, but it still kind of applies to what we were going to get into here. As we mentioned, 2 weeks exactly until Texans training camp begins. You know they begin earlier than everybody else, along with the Chicago Bears. They get the Hall of Fame game kicking off the preseason up in Canton before it's going to be Andre Johnson Day in Canton. How about that? It's going to be awesome. So I ask you the question.
I'll be there.
You're going to go?
I think so. Can we talk about that? Is that legal, Tyler?
Are you going to go, or are more people than you going to go?
When in doubt, if it's legal, just assume it's illegal.
Well, we've already said it, so it's cats out of the bag. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Just you?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for anybody else.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to be there.
I got you. Well, I'm looking forward to that then.
Be big time.
Yeah. You should be there. If you weren't there, I would be concerned.
I've never been.
I've never been either. Have you ever been to any Hall of Fame?
Arkansas.
Arkansas
Sports Hall of Fame.
Okay. I got you. Well, that's cool, man. That's going to be great.
I've only been to the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame.
Ooh, that's something.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, all my my family reunions are up there in Wisconsin, so we stopped through Lambeau once and checked out the Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Been to baseball's Hall of Fame twice.
That's cool.
Sounds awesome. Is the basketball Hall of Fame like somewhere in Podunk, Kansas? Or am I wrong?
Sounds right. I think you're right.
I feel like we were lost in Kansas one time, and when day broke, I ended up seeing a sign like on the side of the road, like basketball Hall of Fame that way.
Well, I'm glad you're safe, lost in Kansas, man.
That was an interesting situation.
Pretty rural out there.
Yeah. It felt like you were trapped in a Wizard of Oz painting, but it was very cool at the same time. Nevertheless, congratulations on you being at the Hall of Fame. Let me ask you a question. Biggest camp battle, 2 weeks out. Biggest camp battle that you are got your eyes peeled on.
I've thought about this more than I probably should have at this point in time.
It's 2 weeks.
There's a lot of decisions that have to be made, and there's a lot of talk about creating competition all over the place, and from this coaching staff and Nick Caserio, there's a lot of that. So I think a lot of it's blown out of proportion. But I'm talking real competitions where the coaches are watching the specific guys' film. And they're calling meetings at night in training camp. Like, hey, defensive staff, let's get together. We got to watch these guys because we're going to make a decision in a couple weeks. We got to compare these guys. I think there's real competition at two positions on the defense.
Okay.
And I think it's safety and corner. At safety, I think Kalen Bullock, the third round draft pick out of USC, safety. I think he is really, really, really sexy. I think he is a guy that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans look at and go, how quickly can I get him on the field?
Mm.
He is long. He at least reportedly, I haven't seen him myself, has, when I say reportedly, from D'Amico and company, he's got really good instincts. Literally, I've heard them say what he needs to do is put on a few pounds. And if you're a safety and you're long, rangy, can cover, can play zones, can shrink windows in zones really, really quickly with your length and your speed, I don't give a damn if you're 10 pounds light. Like, yeah, in 2 years from now, would I like you to be 220? Sure, yeah. But if you're 210 right now, you can play. Hell, if you're a buck 90, you can play, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I don't need my safeties to be that big to get on the field.
At the combine, he was listed at 6'2", 188.
So 190, right? So mm-hmm. I know he's light, but so you draft him at 190, you'd like him to play, let's say, at 205, 210 max, right? He can play at 190, boys and girls. He'll be 195, if not 200, by the time he touches the field as a rookie, by the time the season starts. And 10 pounds ain't going to keep him from starting. I think Jimmy Ward is an older player. I think the days of the players that played with D'Amico Ryans in previous stops, the veterans that could come in and almost be a coach on the field, I think with each passing year, those guys become less and less important. As I said, he was injured last year. I think he's lost a step. And I think Kalen Bullock is the real deal. He is a guy to me in this draft class that when I look at him, when I just watch him work, I'm like, that dude's different.
Yeah. You know what? You tell me if I'm way off here, but what little we actually got to see Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie, Derek Stingley, and Steven Nelson on the field together last year, which was, I think, maybe four games and change, where they started and played the whole mm-hmm. damn game together.
Yeah.
When Jimmy Ward was on the field, I felt like I noticed a difference. I felt
positively.
Positively,
yeah. No, I agree.
And it's just the assuredness that you knew there was a veteran back there, a great communicator, somebody that understood what was maybe going to happen before it was going to happen. And I think the confidence that Jalen Petrie had in Jimmy Ward, the comfortability, knowing that I've got a veteran there that's going to maybe help me get in the right position to make a play, yeah. Right? I just felt that. So I've told you that I don't think the Texans should be treating Jimmy Ward as a starter, like an every week starter, because he hasn't been two out of the last 3 years. I mean, this is a guy who has become more injury prone later in his career. But the Texans do have options, and I think Kalen Bullock is certainly one of them. Would it be out of character for a guy like D'Amico Ryans, who, look, has been coaching defense now for a minute, entering the second year as a head coach and basically running the show with the Texans defensively, to kind of maybe pivot on what we think he generally likes, you know, from year one to year two? Like, if you think there's a Kalen Bullock type who was a little bit longer, is a little bit more wiry, maybe is a better fit because he's got more of a quick twitch than Jimmy Ward does, maybe Jalen Petrie is going to be better suited to play down low in the box as opposed to up high and in deep coverage so much. Is it crazy to think that D'Amico's identified that already and they're just going to kind of go a different route from anything that we saw last year?
No, I don't think it's crazy. Hell, I think it's likely.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I think it's likely. Like I said, I think the biggest thing with Jimmy Ward is he's on the backside, and again, with every passing year, like last year, you're hitting it on the head. Like, he was probably a big part of the communication. He was an extension of D'Amico Ryans all the way from building the culture to playing and running the defense. Like, with every year that passes, that's less and less important. And now all of a sudden you get down to where you're like, okay, who can make plays,
mm-hmm.
right? Who in center field right now, if a seam's thrown to left or right, who can close that gap and get a hand on the ball, right? Who can make that a difficult throw for the quarterback versus a throw in the ocean? Who can turn and go make a play on a ball after a quarterback throws a ball with too much air down the sideline, can get there and make the play? Kalen, at some point this thing is going to be Jimmy Ward the athlete against whoever he's competing with. And it's not going to be about his communication, because they're all going to be able to communicate. It's not going to be about his history with D'Amico, because D'Amico's been here and he's got history with everybody.
Yeah.
Right? So at some point it's going to be about football. And I'm just telling you, I think if you look at it, I think it's going to be quicker rather than longer that everybody that covers the team sees that dude's just on a different level.
Yeah, interesting. Clint Sterner, Sean Bajani in for Ron Hughley. It's The Drive coming up next. Final segment. We'll get you set for the Stros tonight. First pitch, 7:10, opener against the Minnesota Twins. We'll talk about Doobie being on the mound and get you the lineup one more time in case you missed it. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Boys, got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell on myself.
All right.
If you were reading something, maybe an ad for a company, and in that ad it said BOGO, all capital letters, BOGO, 20% off.
BOGO.
Would you say that? Is that what you'd say?
I mean,
what would you say?
Buy one, get one.
BOGO.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I said BOGO, and I had no idea what it meant.
You just said BOGO.
Wednesday before we left. I meant to bring it up. You know, like with my read, I just got these bullets, right, that I can pick and choose however I want to couch it. Well, it says BOGO 20% off sporting, like it was football, sports balls. I said BOGO 20% off, and I got thinking, what the hell does that mean? So I'm Googling it. I'm Googling it on Academy's deal, and I'm thinking, BOGO, what the hell? I can't find anything. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Oh, my God.
And then it dawned on me, buy one, get one either free or 20% off or 10% off or four.
Hey, but it works. Like, you said it, and nobody would have known otherwise. You didn't know what it meant. Like, people know. More people know.
So you think when I said that, people thought?
Oh,
I think my delivery was really bad, though.
Maybe the delivery could have suffered a little bit, but people know BOGO.
Because I said BOGO 50% off sports balls.
I think you're in the clear. You're all right.
So you think people listening knew or thought that I meant buy one, get one 50% off?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
So you mean to tell me I'm the only dumbass that did? I'm the one that said it. I'm the only one that didn't get it?
Maybe.
It took me 20 minutes, boys, to figure it out.
Nah, you totally could have.
I ain't going to lie to you.
You didn't have to, you know, disclose that. And people would have never thought otherwise.
It took me 20 minutes, and I was pissed off. I thought somebody screwed up my bullet points. I was like, who in the hell would write that in there?
Hey, you're no... I do the same thing, man. I will Ron Burgundy the hell out of stuff. If you give me something to read, and I don't have a lot of time to, you know, double check.
Right. Like, yeah,
I'm just going to read the damn thing.
Yeah,
I'm just going to read the damn thing.
Well, I mean, look, the thing is, at Academy Sports and Outdoors, I mean, whatever you need, they got. You can find it at your local Academy Sport. So I thought BOGO was some kind of sport ball or something. I thought they had a BOGO ball or something. I thought BOGO was a pair of shorts or something. Hell, I don't know.
Go get your BOGO stick from Academy. Go get your BOGO ball from Academy.
Buy one, get one stick free.
Need a new BOGO goal? Geez. Academy's got it.
Let me tell you something that Academy Sports and Outdoors, you need a BOGO, they got BOGO.
that's what I felt like I was doing. Probably sounded like that too. I thought, boy, did I feel like
that. Hey, but as long as you sounded confident, like.
It's all about how you sell it.
Well, y'all make me feel better about it, other than the fact that y'all knew immediately what the hell I was talking.
I've done far worse, man.
Need some pads for all you BOGO players out there.
I have Ron Burgundy stuff to. Boy, and it's been bad.
Get you a matching BOGO shirt and BOGO shorts, man. It looks good together.
Are you the biggest BOGO fan out there? Then come to Academy.
Yeah, we got all the BOGOs you need.
Hey, now you You tailor that to the ladies. Yeah, ladies, you guys are the big BOGO fans. Let me tell you, Academy's got BOGO out the wazoo for you.
The popularity around this country with BOGO is exploding, and Academy's got you covered.
The thing is, if you throw buy one, get one, it all works, and every example we gave. Nice to know, boys. Nice to know.
Yeah, so you're in the clear on that
good,
one.
Good, man. Good, good. I probably should have kept it to myself, but I thought, what the hell, man?
Hey, it's all good. I will not admit to you half of the Ron Burgundies I've made over the course of the last year.
Well, I mean,
year,
hell, I know a lot. Of, I mean, I'm not perfect, boys. I know.
I thought a translator was Jordan Alvarez once.
You know? So yes.
We all have our moments.
Oh, that is the best.
713. That's the Arkansas education, Clint.
Come on, man. That's it, baby. That's it. It paid well.
Another one from the 713. Had no idea what, I don't even know what this is, Bogota? Had no idea what Bogota was until a month ago. B-O-G-O-T-A. I don't know what that is.
Bogota, like Colombia?
That's Colombia, yeah.
That's what I thought, Bogota, Colombia, but...
Yeah.
I feel like, isn't there like a car, like a Bogota? Or a motorcycle or something?
I don't know.
I don't know.
There's that sounds like that. That's a motorcycle.
Yeah, but you gotta be careful. I think that text line's trying to get you to say something that...
Could be. Yeah, trying to Ron Burgundy my ass. Yeah, all right, I'm going to stay away. Shutting down now. Holy smokes. Update from your Astros via Astros beat reporter for the Houston Chronicle, Matt Kawahara. Victor Caratini is with the Astros in Minneapolis tonight. He ran, hit in the cage, and did catching drills pregame, but still has to, quote-unquote, clear some hurdles before the Astros start discussing a rehab assignment. That was per Joe Espada before the game. Also, Sean Dubin could go 55 to 60 pitches today. Joe Espada said if Dubin is efficient, the Astros would like to try to get him through the Twins lineup twice. So basically, Espada's hoping Dubin runs it back a la what he did against the New York Mets last Sunday.
Well, wouldn't that be beautiful? We'd be living right, which the Astros have been living right since June 18th, to be exact. They have been... They have been living right, and Tyler's been winning money since they've been living right. And so, yeah, I mean, look, they need Dubin to run it back and do exactly what he did last time, which I think is probably a little bit of a stretch, probably unfair expectations on a young fella for a bullpen game, but we'll see.
Get your BOGO, hock to us. Oh, God.
BOGO, hock to us.
Appreciate you, 713.
BOGO, hock to us. God bless. I don't think they sell those at Academy.
Not yet. It's coming. They're working on the marketing for now.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Pause.
You know, I was confident, dude, in Spencer Arrighetti after he threw that 7-inning gem against the Rockies about a week and a half ago. I was confident. All right, this dude has turned the corner. And then he lays that stinker against the Jays, gets him in an early 7-0 hole. I don't know what I should feel better or worse about. Like, Dubin kind of doing the same thing tonight that he did against the Mets, or I mean, if I should feel the same, like in retrospect, like, yeah, you know, I was a little too high on Arrighetti.
No, look, I mean, no, bro.
Get Arrighetti tomorrow,
When it's all said and done. I mean, Spencer Arrighetti is not going to be on the bump in the playoffs. I mean, Spencer Arrighetti is a guy that you just hope can chew through some innings.
Sure, yeah, I'm not worried about the playoffs.
And now he obviously has struggled with that. What is it, three of the last four outings or two of the last four, whatever it is? He obviously has struggled with that. I know he had the 10 strikeout game, not this start, but the last start.
Yeah, that was against the Rockies, that 7-inning gem.
I mean, look, and I don't even know. I don't know that Spencer Arrighetti is going to be able to handle the workload of 162 and even be just an innings eater for the Astros. But I guess my overall point is the expectations for Spencer Arrighetti, even with the issues that the Astros have right now, again, unless the JV injury is more significant than we think or than we've been told. Then Spencer Arrighetti is just literally, I'm comfortable, even with this last outing, I'm comfortable with Spencer Arrighetti being one of the guys, whether it's one of five or one of six, being one of those that just chews through some innings in the second half of the season. I'm still comfortable with that being part of the plan, even though he struggled a handful of outings.
You know, and really up until that stinker against Detroit, And the rough outing he had against the Jays, like, the guy's been good more times than not over the last month. Yeah, well, he might not
even
have...
even a couple of, and I don't remember the, I don't have it in front of me. I'm not looking at the box score of all the Astros games, but if I remember one of the games he struggled in, he was really good, and then it just unraveled in the fifth or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he gave up four runs in the fifth or something late, to where if you watch the entire game, you're like, hey, look, the Arrighetti guy, he was all right. He did all right, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't get you deep in ball games more times than not, unfortunately. But, you know, against San Francisco, he gave you 5 2/3, gave up one earned run. Against the White Sox, he went 4 1/3, gave up 3 earned runs. Jim against Colorado, 7 innings, scoreless ball, 3 hits.
It was that White Sox game when he gave up 3. Like, he was really good through 4. And then when he got into the fifth.
Yeah, he started walking dudes.
Yeah, when he got into the fifth, it got ugly. I think that's how it worked. Anyway.
Yep. But, you know, there is reason to believe that that guy could maybe turn into a little bit more of an innings eater for you in the second half. Maybe somebody to just carry you. That's really all you need, right? Somebody to carry you to Luis coming back.
Yeah. I mean, Luis Garcia, that is Ron and I have been talking about it for 2 weeks now. Like, to me, that's the get-to date, right? I mean, if you, again, assuming that the JV reports and the Tucker reports, that those guys are at least doing some baseball things, to me, it's Luis Garcia. If Luis Garcia is a July 20th return or a late July return, right, that you get there. If you're the Astros and you can get there with still winning some ball games and not going the other direction 3 or 4 games all of a sudden on the Mariners. If you can stay within a couple of games, 2-3 games of the Mariners, the day that you get Luis Garcia back, I think you are ready to rock. You're locked and loaded.
Can't
afford any more injuries, though, because they're thin. But that, to, as a fan, that's the date. Okay, now we can stop the whole, how are we going to navigate this bullpen game? How is Sean Dubin going to start? Can he give me 55 pitches? Can he give me 2-3 innings? Like, we can stop that silliness once Luis Garcia gets there.
Luis Garcia inning in a third last night for Double A Corpus. Forget what the line really was. He gave up 4 runs on 3 hits, gave up 2 dingers, but he did hit his pitch count limit. So right. He threw 31 pitches last night. And that, when you get to the pitch count limit and you get out of there without injury, that's the key at this point in time for Luis Garcia. So.
Well, look, if he gets here and he's bad when he gets here, because I agree with your point. Like, I'm not as much worried about, you know, how they're swinging it or whatever. I mean, he may have just, I don't know what pitches he was throwing, what pitches he wasn't throwing. I have no idea.
Exactly. You don't know what he's working on.
Like, if he gets here, I've got confidence that if Luis Garcia gets here pain-free, injury-free, setback-free, I feel like he's going to at the very least be a guy that can eat some innings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've seen him do it.
I mean, that's all you can really hope for the Astros.
And get there, man, and the Astros are in good shape, Sean. I you know what I mean? Because, I got to believe that JV's back by then. I got to believe that Tucker's back by then. You get Luis Garcia. Now, all of a sudden, you've got 6 starters potentially. You get Jake Bloss back. You could have a little bit of depth and a little bit of a security blanket if somebody does get injured or somebody needs to have a little rest.
Oh, yeah.
You got options if you can just get to Luis Garcia, but you got to get there.
You know, you cancel out Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy at this point in time, along with JP France. So there's 3. I've been talking all season long about, you know, you get to the second half of the season when Garcia and McCullers return. There's 2 dudes. You add in Justin Verlander, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Spencer Arrighetti, Ronel Blanco. There's 7 dudes right there. There's 7 guys. How many MLB teams have 7 go-to starters when you need to go eat some innings? And you mentioned Jake Bloss. There's another potential guy, like, if you need somebody like
Well,
that.
At the rate these guys have been getting injured, it's crazy to say that everybody's going to come back and be fully healthy and nobody else is going to get injured. So Jake Bloss is a guy that just gives you and I don't know how good he is or isn't, but I'm just talking about having –
they don't know either.
I'm just talking about, at this point, the second half of the season, not having to have a bunch of bullpen games in a row and
load,
tax your pen.
Load management, right? Because we talked about this. Ronel Blanco is going to be facing a career high in innings. Hunter Brown's going to be facing another career high in innings. Justin Verlander, last season in the second half, he threw like just over 92 innings. For him to reach that 140-inning threshold, assuming he comes back in the second half and maybe misses his first turn in the rotation, maybe two rotations, that guy's going to have to be badass. He's going to have to average like more than six innings per start. So he's going to have to be dealing. And what load is that going to take on him going into a hopeful postseason, right? And the more arms you got available at your disposal, the better for the Astros. And if you can afford to load manage guys, that means things are going really, really well.
Well, they may have to load manage, as you mentioned, with Verlander's age and the fact that you got some youngsters that just flat ass ain't done it yet. And if you, it would be nice to have the luxury to load manage a bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To
keep them as fresh as you can.
All right. We're going to take you into the weekend, man. Let's see if Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Diaz, Singleton, Pena, Myers, Lopefito, Salazar, with a Dubin start on the mound tonight, can get the job done in game one of a three-game set against the Twins.
Sean Bajani, appreciate you coming in, man. I know he's a little sick, a little under the weather, man. Appreciate you sitting in for Ron. And he's out there gallivanting around. Me and you were in here working, man. Me, you, and T's in here working, man.
Talking ball is a good medicine.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you. For Clint Sterner, for Tyler Milner, I'm Sean Bajani. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You better go rest the pipes. That's all I know.
He's got to go rest the pipes, and I would imagine he's going to do so with
the pipes.
Another
the pipes,
margarita or
Tyler.
Two.
The pipes, not the pipe. The pipes.
All right. I'll try not to break out the nasty this early.
Easy, man.
Easy, feller.
I mean, it is the weekend. It is July 4th.
That always makes me horny.
Pipe laying season?
Yeah, that's right.
It's always pipe laying season.
Hey, look.
Especially in the dirt of day.
Yes, it is.
And the world all right with me.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Indies I've made over the course of the last
year. Well, I mean, hell, I know a lot. I mean, I'm not perfect, boys. I know.
I thought a translator was Yordan Alvarez once.
Yes.
We all have our moments.
Oh, that is the best.
713. That's the Arkansas education, Clint.
Come on, man. That's it, baby. That's it. It paid well.
Another one from the 713. Had no idea what... I don't even know what this is. Bogota? Had no idea what Bogota was until a month ago. B-O-G-O-T-A. I don't know what that is.
Bogota, like Colombia?
Bogota, Colombia. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Bogota, Colombia, but...
Yeah.
I feel like... Isn't there like a car, like a Bogota? Or a motorcycle or something?
I don't know. Sounds like that. That's a motorcycle.
Yeah, but you got to be careful. I think that text line is trying to get you to say something that
could be. Yeah, trying to Ron Burgundy my ass. Yeah, all right, I'm going to stay away. Shutting down now. Holy smokes. Update from your Astros via Astros beat reporter for the Houston Chronicle, Matt Kawahara. Victor Caratini is with the Astros in Minneapolis tonight. He ran. Hitting the cage and did catching drills pregame, but still has to, quote-unquote, clear some hurdles before the Astros start discussing a rehab assignment. That was per Joe Espada before the game. Also, Sean Dubin could go 55 to 60 pitches today. Joe Espada said if Dubin is efficient, the Astros would like to try to get him through the Twins lineup twice. So basically, Espada's hoping Dubin runs it back a la what he did against the New York Mets last Sunday.
Well, wouldn't that be beautiful? We'd be living right, which the Astros have been living right since June 18th, to be exact. They have been living right, and Tyler's been winning money since they've been living right. And so, yeah, I mean, look, they need Dubin to run it back and do exactly what he did last time, which I think is probably a little bit of a stretch, probably unfair expectations on a young fella for a bullpen game, but we'll see.
Get your BOGO hot tour. Oh, God.
BOGO hawk to us.
Appreciate you, 713.
BOGO hawk to us. God bless. I don't think they sell those at Cat Academy.
Not yet. It's coming. They're working on the marketing for that right now.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Pause.
You know, I was confident, dude, in Spencer Arrighetti after he threw that seven-inning gem against the Rockies about a week and a half ago. I was confident. All right, this dude has turned the corner. And then he lays that stinker against the Jays, gets him in an early 7-0 hole. I don't know what I should feel better or worse about. Like, Dubin kind of doing the same thing tonight that he did against the Mets, or, I mean, if I should feel the same, like, in retrospect, like, yeah, you know, I was a little too high on Arrighetti.
No, look, I mean, no, bro.
Get Arrighetti, I mean, tomorrow,
when it's all said and done, I mean, Spencer Arrighetti is not going to be on the bump in the playoffs. I mean, Spencer Arrighetti is a guy that you just hope can chew through some innings.
Sure, yeah, I'm not worried about the playoffs.
And now he obviously has struggled with that. What is it, three of the last four outings or two of the last four, whatever it is. He obviously has struggled with that. I know he had the 10 strikeout game, not this start, but the last start.
Yeah, that was against the Rockies, that seven-inning gem.
I don't know that Spencer Arrighetti is going to be able to handle the workload of 162 and even be just an innings eater for the Astros. But I guess my overall point is the expectations for Spencer Arrighetti, even with the issues that the Astros have right now, again, unless the JV injury is more significant than we think, or than we've been told. Then Spencer Arrighetti is just literally, I'm comfortable, even with this last outing, I'm comfortable with Spencer Arrighetti being one of the guys, whether it's one of five or one of six, being one of those that just chews through some innings in the second half of the season. I'm still comfortable with that being part of the plan, even though he struggled a handful of outings.
And really up until that stinker against Detroit and the rough outing he had against the Jays, like, the guy's been good more times than not over the last month.
Even a couple, and I don't have it in front of me, I'm not looking at the box score of all the Astros games, but if I remember, one of the games he struggled in, he was really good, and then it just unraveled in the fifth or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he gave up four runs in the fifth or something late, to where if you watch the entire game, you're like, hey, look, the Arrighetti guy, he was all right. He did all right, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't get you deep in ball games more times than not, unfortunately. But, you know, against San Francisco, he gave you 5 2/3, gave up one earned run. Against the White Sox, he went 4 1/3, gave up 3 earned runs. Jim against Colorado, 7 innings, scoreless ball, 3 hits.
It was that White Sox game when he gave up 3. Like, he was really good through 4. And then when he got into the fifth,
yeah, he started walking dudes.
Yeah, when he got into the fifth, it got ugly. I think that's how it worked. Anyway,
yeah. But you know, there is reason to believe that that guy could maybe turn into a little bit more of an innings eater for you in the second half. Maybe somebody to just carry you. That's really all you need, right? Somebody to carry you to Luis coming back.
Yeah. I mean, Luis Garcia. That is Ron and I've been talking about it for 2 weeks now. Like, to me, That's the get to date, right? I mean, if you, again, assuming that the JV reports and the Tucker reports that those guys are at least doing some baseball things, to me, it's Luis Garcia. If Luis Garcia is a July 20th return or a late July return, right, that you get there. If you're the Astros and you can get there with still winning some ball games and not going the other direction 3 or 4 games all of a sudden on the Mariners. If you can stay within a couple of games, 2-3 games of the Mariners, the day that you get Luis Garcia back, I think you are ready to rock. You're locked and loaded.
By the way, can't
afford any more injuries though, because they're thin. But as a fan, that's the date. Okay, now we can stop the whole. How are we going to navigate this bullpen game? How is Sean Dubin going to start? Can he give me 55 pitches? Can he give me 2-3 innings? Like, we can stop that silliness once Luis Garcia gets there.
Luis Garcia inning in a third last night for Double A Corpus. Forget what the line really was. He gave up 4 runs on 3 hits, gave up 2 dingers, but he did hit his pitch count limit. So right. He threw 31 pitches last night. And that, when you get to the pitch count limit and you get out of there without injury, that's the key at this point in time for Luis Garcia. So,
well, look, if he gets here and he's bad when he gets here, because I agree with your point. Like, I'm not as much worried about, you know, how they're swinging it or whatever. I mean, he may have just, I don't know what pitches he was throwing, what pitches he wasn't throwing. I have no idea.
Exactly. You don't know what he's working on.
Like, if he gets here, I've got confidence that if Luis Garcia gets here pain-free, injury-free, setback-free, I feel like he's going to at the very least be a guy that can eat some innings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've seen him do it.
I mean, that's all you can really hope for the Astros.
And get there, man, and the Astros are in good shape, Sean. I you know what I mean? Because, I got to believe that JV's back by the end. I got to believe that Tucker's back by the end. You get Luis Garcia. Now all of a sudden, you've got 6 starters potentially. You get Jake Bloss back. You could have a little bit of depth and a little bit of a security blanket if somebody does get injured or somebody needs to have a little rest.
Oh, yeah.
You got options if you can just get to Luis Garcia, but you got to get there.
You know, you cancel out Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy at this point in time, along with JP France. So there's 3. I've been talking all season long about, you know, you get to the second half of the season when Garcia and McCullers return. There's 2 dudes. You add in Justin Verlander, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Spencer Arrighetti, Ronel Blanco. There's 7 dudes right there. There's 7 guys. How many MLB teams have 7 go-to starters when you need to go eat some innings? And you mentioned Jake Bloss. There's another potential guy, like, if you need somebody like
well,
that.
Well, at the rate these guys have been getting injured, it's crazy to say that everybody's going to come back and be fully healthy and nobody else is going to get injured. So Jake Bloss is a guy that just gives you and I don't know how good he is or isn't, but I'm just talking about having –
they don't know either.
I'm just talking about, at this point, the second half of the season, not having to have a bunch of bullpen games in a row and
load,
tax your pen.
Load management, right? Because we talked about this. Ronel Blanco is going to be facing a career high in innings. Hunter Brown's going to be facing another career high in innings. Justin Verlander, last season in the second half, he threw like just over 92 innings. For him to reach that 140-inning threshold, assuming he comes back in the second half and maybe misses his first turn in the rotation, maybe 2 rotations, that guy's going to have to be badass. He's going to have to average like more than 6 innings per start. So he's going to have to be dealing. And what load is that going to take on him going into a hopeful postseason, right? And the more arms you got available at your disposal, the better for the Astros. And if you can afford to load manage guys, that means things are going really, really well.
Well, they may have to load manage, as you mentioned, with Verlander's age and the fact that you got some youngsters that just flat ass ain't done it yet. And it would be nice to have the luxury to load manage a bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To
keep them as fresh as you can.
All right, we're going to take you into the weekend, man. Let's see if Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Diaz, Singleton, Pena, Myers, Loperfido, Salazar, with a Dubin start on the mound tonight, can get the job done in game 1 of a 3-game set against the Twins.
Sean Bajani, appreciate you coming in, man. I know he's a little sick, a little under the weather, man. Appreciate you sitting in for Ron. And he's out there gallivanting around. Me and you were in here working, man. Me, you, and T's in here working, man.
Talking ball is a good medicine.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you. For Clint Sterner, for Tyler Milner, I'm Sean Bajani. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You better go rest the pipes. That's all I know.
He's got to go rest the pipes, and I would imagine he's going to do so with
the pipes.
Another
the
margarita
pipes,
or two.
Tyler, the pipes, not the pipe. The pipes.
All right. I'll try not to break out the nasty this early.
Easy, man.
Easy, feller.
I mean, it is the weekend. It is July 4th.
That always makes me horny.
Pipe laying season?
Yeah, that's right.
It's always pipe laying season.
Hey, look.
Especially in the dirt of day.
Yes, it is.
And the world all right with me.
Have Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.